ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण I was told that all of you prepared 1,652 offerings for Giriraj today. Since it is Gopastami, the day that Krishna is first given charge of cows, and it's a day in Vrindavan when the honor and gratitude and worship of the cow is offered, let us offer our sincere gratitude for all of the cows of Braj Bhumi that provided their most pure and auspicious cow dung for us to cook with today. Srila Prabhupada, he told us that the barometer or the instrument to determine the level of true dharma or spirituality in any society is to be understood by observing how the cow is being honored, respected, and protected. Because for most all of us, she gives her milk, even when we're small little babies. And therefore, we accept her as a mother. The cow is very much the symbol of mother, of the feminine nature of nourishment and affection. And therefore, to honor with gratitude the cow is not only symbolic, but it is very seriously revealing what our values are individually and collectively as a society. The cow is providing not only milk but the ghee for the performance of yajna. And yajna is for the benefit on all levels for society. Krishna tells in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita that at the beginning of creation, I has created the demigods and all humans and all species of life, and I also created yajna and said, be thou happy by performing this sacrifice. For that's where your happiness will really be. In this age of Kali, the most recommended and powerful form of sacrifice or yajna is Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy names. But in order for us to actually chant and have the deep benefits that we require, we have to live in harmony with the values that God has given us. Krishna's Govinda, which means he gives pleasure to the senses, to the earth, and to the cow. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. The cows and the Brahmins are especially very dear to Krishna. Why is that? Because Krishna is compassionate to all living beings. By properly following the principles that the Brahmins teach and the examples that true Brahmins live by, and we're not speaking about Brahmins simply on the basis of a caste or a birth, but Bhagavad Gita explains the true qualities of a Brahmin: truthfulness, honesty, actual knowledge of the scriptures, real exemplary devotion to God in every way. They are like heads of society that give direction to all of us. The Brahmins are so dear to Krishna because they are helping all human race, all human beings to come closer to Krishna so that all of us could be happy eternally. And by honoring the cow, the urine of the cow, the milk of the cow, the hundreds of various byproducts of the milk of the cow, the dung of the cow, has so many great benefits to the world and to human society if we simply understand that. In the spiritual world, the highest planet is called Goloka, which means planet of cows. Gokula, the place of cows. Krishna manifested as Govardhan, one who nourishes the cows. Gopinath, one who is the lord of the ladies who take care of cows. Gopal, himself, he is taking care of cows. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. Krishna gives us very easy ways to please him. But if we try to intellectually analyze things without the proper heart and direction, coming from the ultimate goal of life, God, Krishna, then we will just mislead ourselves and mislead each other. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna represents cow protection. He plays his flute and he takes care of cows. And Balaram holds plow, representing agriculture. Sustenance of society. In fact, even in the Western religions, although people don't really connect it so much, I could go into a lot of detail, but I'm not going to do it. But the holiest place for the Jews and the Christians, and one of the holiest of holy place for Islamic religion, is Jerusalem. And what does it call Jerusalem in the Old Testament?
It's the promised land, the land of milk and honey. Milk comes from cows.
So milk has always been a very, very important thing. Now these days, because the way cows are treated in the Western world, people are not drinking milk because of the values that these dairy companies, they take the milk from the cow, then they slaughter the cow as soon as the milk production goes down. Why should we give money to those people? Why should we support slaughter? Because factually in the West, it's not only the meat industry, but the dairy industry is based on slaughter of innocent children of God. And what to speak of the cruel ways that they're treated just to get maximum production from them. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they wanted exemplary places all over the world to show people the spiritual, the economic, the moral values of protecting the cows and the bulls as the children of God. And when we understand this principle, naturally we will, our brain tissues will become more refined, and the culture that is built around these ideas leads one to actual compassion to all living beings, which includes the buffaloes and the goats and the sheep and the fish and everyone else. Compassion. Krishna has given us a way to actually develop that compassion. Foundationally, to honor those who give us spiritual wisdom and to honor our mothers. Gopastami. And Srila Prabhupada explained that protecting the cows and the bulls and the oxen doesn't mean simply not to kill them. It means to make them happy. And like all the rest of us, affection makes them happy. In the West, people are very, very focused on taking care of pets like dogs and cats. I remember when I was a little boy, my younger brother had a pet turtle. He was about this big. His shell was this big. And he named him Lucky. And he loved that little turtle. And the turtle, you know, when he gave him food and when he held him, you could see the turtle actually relates to affection. Turtles like affection, just like the rest of us. And when Lucky died, my little brother was beside himself in grief and had a funeral ceremony in our backyard where he buried him. And somewhere down, he's still there, I guess. And dogs, you know, when you pet a dog, it's not that they just like the feel of, you know, your finger scratching them. They want attention. They want affection. It's the nature of the soul in all embodied beings to want affection. And we do things for people as a way of expressing that affection. And people could feel our intention too. And that's what gives satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada was talking about one farm community, and he said, when we call the cows, they
come running because they're so happy because they want to give their milk. And it's actually a fact. I was there. I was one of the ones milking the cows. And we used to call them. And when we'd call them, we'd give them all kinds of nice grass, and we'd give them some nice different types of things that they'd like to eat. And then we'd comb them and brush them and pet them and talk to them and then milk them, and they were just so happy. And we used to have this special call when it was time for the cows to come to the goshala. It was in those days I was quite young, so I didn't need a microphone. I would just go, ooh, and just make this loud sound, and wherever they were, they would come running, and they were actually smiling, because they knew they were going to get petted, and they were going to get brushed, and they were going to get fed, and they were going to get affection, and they were going to give milk, because they loved to give their milk. Reciprocation. And this is how Krishna eternally with Balaram spends his eternal pastimes. And Sri Radharani, she is the supremest of the gopis, Gopinath Priya. So today on Gopastami, we meditate on this very beautiful reality of the spiritual world. And it's such a simple way by which we could please Krishna. And Krishna, when he is pleased, that is the success of our life. As individuals and as society, it's important that we make priorities. And the principle of cow protection is the priority of compassion on the basis of pleasing Krishna. So here at Govardhan, we will continue our parikrama. Where did we leave off yesterday? Thank you. I couldn't hear anything you said, but thank you. Because when I asked where we left off yesterday, mostly I just heard everyone coughing. Still. From Uddhava Kund, we come to the precincts of Sri Radha Kund. First on our right side, there is a small temple of Lord Shiva, Mahadev, and a kund called Shivakori. There's a beautiful story in the Puranas about this kund. It tells how there was a female jackal that was drinking water from Shivakori. Jackals are not popular animals, even among animals. And as far as I could see, even among jackals. Yes? If somebody is... Well, I don't have to go into too many description, but usually if somebody's very evil or mischievous or cunning for selfish purposes, we compare them to a jackal.
Yes.
So they're very scrawny little animals. They're scavengers. They usually wait for something to die and then eat them. And they make really obnoxious sounds. Have you ever been to Mayapur at night sometimes and the jackals?
Meow! Meow!
He's really... And when they're all doing it together, it's a very harsh sound. So usually the nature of children, if someone is not so fortunate, children like to really harass them. At least in America it's like that. In India I don't see that so much. You know, if somebody's a little fat or if somebody's weak, you know, people like to beat them up and make fun of them. Boys, girls, I don't watch girls so much, but boys are definitely like that. So jackals are a very outcast type of animal. So here was this she-jackal drinking some water at Shivakori. And the little children saw a jackal. They were obviously little boys. So they wanted to harass and torture the jackal. They started throwing stones at the jackal, and the jackal was going, just running around, just trying to, and then they surrounded the jackal so the jackal couldn't go anywhere, and they started beating the jackal with sticks, beating her head, beating the bones, and the jackal was screaming and screeching and trying to get away somehow or other. He just ran and ran and ran, this little jackal, and found a foxhole in the ground and dove into the hole. And the children, they were relentless. They wanted the jackal to come out so that they could beat him and beat her and beat her and beat her. So they took wood and gathered it all around and put it on top of the hole and lit it on fire. Now, for those of you who are cooking today, you know what it's like when nice smoke gets in your eyes and in your lungs. Well, imagine being in a little hole. And the outside of the hole, which is the only source of oxygen and air, is a blazing fire. And the fire's coming down and the smoke's coming down. And the jackal was screaming in total misery. Couldn't live within the hole. Couldn't get out of the hole. It was screaming. And meanwhile, Sri Radharani with her friends were coming from Radhakund. And she heard the screaming of a she-jackal. And Sri Radharani told Lalita, her own Shiksha Guru and her own most beloved friend, that no one should suffer in my place, Radhakund. Go see who that is. Help her. Lalita Sakhi went running, and she saw all these little kids with their sticks ready for the jackal to come out of the fire so they could beat her and beat her and beat her. And Lalita Sakhi chased them all away. Out from here. Chalo, chalo. And all the kids left. And then she moved the fire away, and she called the jackal to come out. And the she-jackal crawled out of the hole. She was crying. Limbs were literally shivering in fear and anxiety and pain. Lalita took the she-jackal to Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani patted the head of the she-jackal. The jackal fell at her lotus feet,
profusely crying tears, tears of desperation and gratitude. And Sri Radharani blessed the she-jackal, blessed her to be her eternal maidservant associate in the spiritual world. She attained the highest position of bhakti, devotional service. By the grace of Sri Radha, the jackal represents the conditioned soul, the living being that is somehow or other we have degraded ourselves. We're parts and parcels of Krishna. We're Brahman. We're eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We're meant to be in the spiritual world, in rasa, in lila. But instead, like jackals, we're just like scavengers, trying to find some enjoyment here, trying to find some enjoyment there. And jackals are known for stealing from others. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Everything's the property of Krishna. We steal from God. We steal from each other. We're fighting among each other over what doesn't belong to any of us. It's like a jackal. And the whole is like material existence. Under the influence of Maya and the fire, samsara dhavana lalita loka. The fire of samsara. The fire of the three miseries of the body, mind, miseries caused by others, miseries caused by natural disturbances, the fire of the repetition of birth and death. Death is like a fire. It's a time when, from a physical and emotional perspective, the body is just on fire. And we can no longer live in that blazing fire of the body. And the soul, in utter anguish, is kicked out. For a conditioned soul. For a devotee, the fire of devotion burns within the heart, and the soul is cleansed, purified, and liberated at death. The doors open to the spiritual world. Lalita Sakhi is like the guru, like the great saints. They come to where they are sent by Radharani, to where we are, in our holes, burning in the fire, and somehow or other teach us the method by which, through their grace, we can escape that hole. And then they bring us to Krishna. They bring us to Sri Radha. And then if we are intelligent like that jackal, and with grateful hearts, we surrender, Sharanagati, and we attain the ultimate perfection. Shivakori is a place that represents hope for all of us. Infinite hope. Whoever we are, whatever we've done, however much time we have to live, whether we're babies, or 70, 80, 90 years old. There's infinite hope for all of us. The great gurus like Srila Prabhupada, they travel around the world to find us in our holes, to take us to Sri Radharani's lotus feet. The next place is Malyahari Kund. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a book called Mukta Charita, which describes a beautiful pastime that
takes place in this kund. In a kunja, a little grove forest near the Malayahara kund, Sri Radharani and gopis, they were threading pearls to make necklaces for their cows. How beautiful. The supreme goddess of fortune, who's Sarva Lakshmi, who's the ultimate source of all Lakshmis, is making pearl necklaces for her cows with her friends. And Krishna came by and he said, give me some of those beautiful pearls for my cows. Now please understand, these are rasa, very, very intimate exchanges of spiritual love. And arguments are ways of expressing our love in the spiritual world sometimes. So for Krishna's pleasure only, the gopis said, we don't have any extra pearls. Krishna said, please give me some pearls. And Lalita Sakhi said, let me try to find a pearl for you. And she looked in the bottom of this little box of pearls she had, and there was just a very tiny little chip of a pearl. And she said, here, you can have this for your cow. And Krishna was, he said, I am going to grow better pearls than you. So Krishna went to Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, and said, please give me some pearls because I want to plant them in the ground and water them with milk of our cows, and I want to grow pearl trees. And the fruits of those pearl trees will be the most beautiful, fragrant pearls that I could make necklaces for my cows. Yashoda Mai said, pearls do not grow in the ground. You know, you have seen your father, Nanda Maharaj, he puts wheat in the ground, he puts, you know, vegetables in the ground. Those, they have seeds, but pearls come from the ocean. They don't grow in the seeds. And Krishna says, no, don't argue with me. Just give me pearls. I believe that they will grow. Yashoda Mai, she knew they wouldn't grow. But just for Krishna's pleasure, she gave Krishna precious pearls. Now, how many of you mothers would give your children precious pearls to plant in the ground? That is the love of Yashoda. So Krishna planted a bunch of pearls, and then he went to the gopis, headed by Sri Radha, and asked them for milk. And they said, you can't grow pearls. We're not going to give you milk for that. It's a waste of milk. So he went and got milk from his mother. And Yashoda Mai, anything for Krishna. Doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. This is a very high level of consciousness. So Krishna was watering the ground with the milk from the cows. And after a few days, little sprouts came up. Unbelievable. Yashoda Mai saw sprouts are coming up. And Krishna showed gopis, see little sprouts? And they said, this is just thorn sprouts. And a few days later, they became beautiful creepers. Like trees with beautiful vines. And within a week, they were fully blossom pearl trees with creepers in all directions. The pearls were beautiful, of all colors, shining. And not only that, they were intoxicatingly fragrant. Have you ever had
experience of a fragrant pearl? This is Vrindavan. These pearls were so big and so multicolored, and they were just effulgent. And Krishna was just to give an experience to the gopis. He put pearls on all his cowherd boyfriends, the most incredible necklaces. Then he put pearl necklaces on all the cows and all the bulls and all the goats, all the buffaloes, all the sheep. Started putting them on peacocks. And to really get to the gopis, he was putting these magnificent pearl necklaces on the monkeys of Vrindavan. And oh, how happy they were. And the gopis never saw such pearls. They asked Krishna, give us some of those pearls for our cows. And Krishna said, I'm not going to give you pearls. Grow your own. So they said, all right, we will grow better ones than you. So Sri Radharani, gopis, they went to their parents, said, give us your pearls. They said, you can't do this. But somehow they convinced them. They took all the jewels that they had and all their parents, they planted them in the ground. They were watering them with yogurt, with pure ghee, with milk. And after a few days, thorn bushes came out. Krishna was laughing. Meanwhile, the gopis were thinking, what are we going to do? We borrowed all of the pearls of our parents' jewelry boxes, and we have to give them back, but we have nothing to give them back. So they were really difficult. So they went to Krishna and tried to bargain with Krishna. And they went to a beautiful little kunja, and Sri Radharani was hiding where Krishna couldn't see as the other gopis were trying to bargain with Krishna to get some nice pearls so that they could give back to their parents and everything else. And the bargaining ended up that stalemate, as they say. Krishna would not give. But then Krishna revealed his heart. He personally made beautiful boxes. And with his own hand, he thread together the best of the best of the best of all the best pearls that the universe has ever seen. And he put these pearls in each box. They were worth beyond any cost. And then within his own hand, he carved Radharani's name and the name of each of the principal gopis on the box. And he had Subal and Madhu Mangal deliver these boxes. And when the gopis received them, Krishna was happy with them. It's not the pearl, it's the love. The pearl of Prem. And Sri Radharani cooked for Krishna, and Krishna was satisfied. And in this way, Raghunath Das Goswami, he shares with us one of the beautiful pastimes between Radha Gopinath and the spiritual world. It's a window. We hear about God, we hear about the kingdom of God, we hear about the absolute truth, we all hear about the all-pervading Brahman. But what's happening in the spiritual world? This ever-dynamic, ecstatic exchange of sweet, innocent, pure love. And we pray to Raghunath Das Goswami
and to the holy land of Vrindavan and Govardhan, and to the Vaishnavas, that the supreme pearl, the pearl of the wisdom of how to please and satisfy Krishna through our every action, word, and thought will be revealed to us at every moment. And the crest jewel of all treasures in life, prema bhakti, pure love, be our highest aspiration and our ultimate goal. To give that jewel to others is the greatest happiness of the heart. We then come to Sri Radha Kund. In the Adi Purana, it describes how Radha Kund was manifest in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world. It tells how Radha Shamsundar was sitting on a beautiful jeweled throne in Goloka, in a forest. Suddenly, Krishna's love for Sri Radha became so overwhelming that he entered so deeply into her state of consciousness that Krishna form turned into Sri Radha's form, and she started crying out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And Krishna, in the form of Radha, ran into the forest crying for Krishna. And seeing this, Srimati Radharani, she became so completely engrossed in Krishna that she assumed Krishna's form, and she was crying out, "Radha, Radha, Radha, where are you, Radha?" And she ran into the forest. And meanwhile, the gopis, they didn't know what to do. Radharani was in Krishna's form crying out for Radharani. So they ran to Krishna, who was in Radha's form in the forest, and said, "You have to help. You have to help Srimati Radharani. This is her state." And then there was a divine voice of Yogamaya that said, "Call Radharani to you by chanting her mantra." And he chanted her mantra and she came. And then Krishna, with folded palms, conquered by the love of Sri Radha, he said, "Because of me, you have incessantly wept tears of separation. And I've done the same. And just see the tears that you wept in your love for me has filled a pond of water, which will be called Radha Kund. And the tears that I have wept in love for you has filled another pond of water, which will be called Sham Kund. And anyone who takes bath in these kunds, in your kund, will get the same love that you have for me." Then Srimati Radharani bathed in Radha Kund and manifested her. She was in the form of Krishna, and she came out as Radharani, and Krishna in the form of Radha bathed in Shamakund, and he came out as Krishna. And on the banks of Radha Kund and Shamakund and Goloka, eternally, the most intimate pastimes of love are taking place. In this world, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains how the most wonderful things can oftentimes come from most difficult moments. In Mathura was Kamsa. Kamsa was so egoistic. He was so lusty. He was so greedy.
angry, violent. He was prepared to cut off his own sister's head for himself out of fear. He imprisoned his own father and took away everything that was his father's property to be enjoyed for himself. He was murdering countless babies. Why? Because he wanted to be the enjoyer. He wanted to be the controller. He wanted to be the proprietor. But every time he sent the most powerful mystic asuras to Vrindavan, they were all killed. Kamsa approached Arista and ordered him. He heard that Krishna used to herd his cows near Govardhan Hill. He said, go there and destroy him. Destroy everything. So by his incredible yogic siddhis, Arista took the form of a huge bull. Now, some of the bulls here around Vrindavan, do they scare you when they're walking in the path and you don't know what they're going to do next? Well, imagine this bull. These are nice bulls. This bull was so big that the hump on his back was like a mountain hovered by clouds. He had massive, sharp horns. His eyes were red like fire. He was galloping into Vrindavan from the Mathura district toward Govardhan. And as he was galloping, he was so heavy and so violently angry that he was creating constant earthquakes. The earth was shaking. And he would scream. He would roar so loud, like millions of lightning bolts. And this roar, along with the earthquake of his hooves trampling the ground, terrified everyone. So many cows and gopis and other ladies who were pregnant, they had miscarriages instantly. It was just too much. Everything was shaking. Everything was in complete turmoil by this one bull as he was galloping. And all the Brijavasis came to Krishna. Just see, everything's finished unless you help us. Krishna said, you need not worry about anything. I will be here to help you. Then Krishna came not far from Govardhan Hill, just on the foot of Govardhan. And he looked at Aristasura and chastised him. He said, you violent, wicked demon. You are created. What right do you have to cause so much anxiety and pain to these innocent cowherd men and cowherd ladies? Today, I will face you and send you to the abode of death. Now, when a really egoistic person is challenged by a little child like this, he was even more infuriated. Meanwhile, Krishna, just to make him even more angry, he stood before a right in the path that Aristasura was charging. Krishna put his arm on the shoulder of Subal, his friend, and just waited. That's an insult. Aristasura put his head down, his massive pointed horns
directly toward Krishna were pointed, and his eyes were looking up hot like coals. There was smoke pouring out of his nose and all kinds of other stuff, I guess. He roared and galloped with all of his strength. Galloping, galloping, galloping. When he approached Krishna, who was standing like this, Krishna very, very effortlessly, with his two little lotus hands, grabbed on to the horns of Aristasura and swirled him around and threw him. And Aristasura flipped over like a somersault, fell on his back 18 steps behind where he was coming from, and fell unconscious. Aristasura came back to consciousness, and now he was hundreds and hundreds of times more angry, more violent. He had been severely insulted. And he roared again, galloped toward Lord Krishna. Krishna again grabbed him by the horns, flipped him over, and with his little beautiful, sweet, soft lotus feet, tick, 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 tick. And as he was kicking this massive bull, it was like somebody would squeeze a sponge to take a wet rag. He was like kicking a little wet rag and kick, kick, kick. And Aristasura was screaming in pain. His eyes were bulging out. He rolled over on his back. He was kicking his legs violently. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, he was passing urine and stool profusely all over the place, uncontrollably. That's pretty embarrassing. And then Krishna pulled out one of his horns and stabbed him with it. And Aristasura was liberated. And the demigods showered flowers, and everyone in Vrindavan was very, very happy. But then in the evening, when Krishna came to meet the gopis, Sri Radharani told that we don't want to associate with you or be touched by you. Krishna said, why? She said, because you killed a bull. What is a bull? A bull is a male cow. You killed a cow. Krishna said, but he wasn't just a cow. He was a demon. He was causing miscarriages. He was going to destroy the whole of Vrindavan. He was a violent asura. She said, that may be true, but still, he was a male cow. If you want to purify yourself, you should take your bath in every holy place in the whole universe. Krishna smiled. He said, I will do that. I will call all the holy places here. Then Krishna, with his beautiful lotus foot, he kicked the earth with his heel and made a little dent. Then he called for all the holy places of the universe to come. And they filled it up. It became a kund. And just to show each holy place, Krishna told them to reveal themselves. And they all came individually with folded hands. I am Pushkar. I am the Godavari River. I am the Sarayu River of Ayodhya. I am the Ganga. I am Yamuna. And one by one by one, they all addressed. And they all filled the kund, and Krishna took his bath very happy and came out and then told the gopis that you have all sided with a demon. So therefore you're contaminated. And look at this beautiful kund I had. You should come in and enjoy it and get purified. And Sri Radharani said, I am not going to bathe in that
because it is the product of the killing of a bull. I will make my own lake. And she saw one of the hoof prints of Aristasura. And she and the gopis with their hands, they started digging. And some of them broke their bangles and were digging. And they made a beautiful, beautiful kund. And Krishna said, let my water from all the holy places, let my water come in and fill the beautiful hole that you have created. He said, no, we will get water from Manasi Ganga, the pure Ganges water. And Sri Radharani organized thousands of gopis to make a line all the way from Aristagram to Manasi Ganga to pass buckets of water to fill. But Lord Krishna, to see the hard work of gopis, perspiration, it was unbearable for him. So he invited the holy places from Shamakund to appear. And the personification of all the holy places in the entire universe manifested as a personality and came before Sri Radharani and offered beautiful prayers. Even Brahma, even Shiva, even Lakshmi, nobody knows your glories in full. Only Krishna knows your glories in full. And Krishna is conquered by your love. Krishna is eager to serve you and to please you. And now we are so fortunate to be before you. We beg you. We beg you from our heart of hearts to fulfill the one desire that we have. And Sri Radharani, who is always favorable to those who take shelter of her, she said, what is your desire? Said, we will feel our lives to be supremely fortunate and successful only if you allow us to fill your kund with our waters. And Sri Radharani said, please come. And then all the water from Shamakund broke through the barrier, overflooded, and filled Sri Radha Kund. And when Krishna saw this, Krishna said, Srimati Radharani, as you are most dear to me, your kund, which is the manifestation of your love, is most dear to me. And anyone who bathes in your kund, even once, will be blessed with your love for me. And Srimati Radharani said, and your kund, Shamakund, is most dear to me. And I will bathe in that kund. Even if millions of Aristasuras are killed, I will bathe in that kund. And anyone who takes bath in that kund will be blessed with ecstatic love. And after that, as the moon was rising, this happened on Bahulastami. Radharani was born on Radhastami, and Radha Kund appeared on Bahulastami, the eighth day of the moon in the month of Kartik. And every day, for about 6 hours, according to Astakaliya Lila, Radha, Krishna, and their most confidential associates perform their pastimes on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranabha, it was revealed to him the glories of Radha Kund, and he excavated Shamakund. But over time, thousands and thousands of years, although our holy scriptures glorify its supreme importance, the exact location was forgotten.
And when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha Krishna, one of his special purposes of coming to this world was to reveal the holy places of Vrindavan personally and through the six Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while he was doing his Braj Parikrama for 2 months, he arrived on Kartik Purnima. He came to Sri Giriraj Govardhan. And he asked, where is Aritagram, the place named after the killing of Aristasura? And when he was there, he was asking the people if they knew where Radhakund and Shyamkund were. But nobody knew. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting under a tamal tree, looking out, and he saw before his eyes, in two simple paddy fields, there were two small ponds of water. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya Radha Bhavaduti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. The absolute truth is one. That one absolute truth manifests as two for the sake, for the purpose of loving pastimes. Radha, Krishna. And those two have again become one in the form of Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna with the complexion and the Mahabhav of Sri Radha to distribute to the world and to taste himself. So Lord Chaitanya was sitting and he saw these two little ponds were in fact the supreme holiest places in all of creation, Radhakund and Shyamkund. And all of the local Brijavasi farmers, they just consider them to be ordinary little ponds in a field. But Mahaprabhu wanted to reveal it to the world. The Brijavasis couldn't believe it. This magnificent sannyasi. When Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, it was like the best friend of everyone returning after so long. When he entered into the forest, the deers were coming up and licking him and licking him and licking him, and he was petting their heads and talking to them and giving them such pleasure, and the cows were coming to lick him. And the peacocks were dancing for him, and the birds were singing for him. And the Brijavasis just couldn't get over our friend, our lover, our everything. And here was this great Swami, Sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the embodiment of supreme beauty and in divine ecstasy. He was taking his bath in Radhakund, then taking bath in Shyamakund. Then he took the clay from the mud of Radhakund and put tilak on 12 parts of his body. And then in ecstasy, he was offering beautiful prayers from the scriptures in glorification of Radhakund. As Radharani is most dear to Krishna, similarly is her kund Radhakund, which is filled not with water, but with the liquid manifestation of her love, her prema. And she's giving that love to the world in Sri Radhakund. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in ecstasy, he was dancing in circumambulation around Radhakund and Shyamakund again and again with his arms raised, chanting the holy names. Now I'd like to say something about Raghunath Das Goswami. He is
the eternal Mahant, or presiding saint of Sri Radha Kund.
When Sri Raghunath Das Goswami was just a little boy, his family was so fabulously wealthy and powerful. They had vast tracts of land that they owned, and all the land around it, they were the zamindars in those days. That means on behalf of the king, they were collecting the taxes and making the laws and giving the orders. And not only that, but they got large percentages of everything they collected. They were like billionaires. And Hiranya, the eldest brother, had no children. And Govardhan only had one child, Raghunath. Their guru was Yadunandan Acharya, who was a very dear friend of Basudev Dutt, the embodiment of compassion. It was Basudev Dutt that asked Lord Chaitanya for one benediction. I cannot bear to see the suffering of people in this world in forgetfulness of you. Please, all the karma, all the sinful reactions of every living being in the entire universe, let it fall on my head and let me suffer perpetually on their behalf and let them all get liberated and enjoy with you. This is the only desire I have. Please fulfill it. Vasudev Dutt, he was so serious. The Lord just doesn't hear what we say. He's the Paramatma within our heart. He knows what we really mean. Vasudev Dutt really meant it. He could have asked at that time to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, to the spiritual world. He could have asked for liberation. He could have asked for everything and anything. But he was asking to suffer perpetually so that everyone else in the universe could get liberated. Lord Chaitanya started to cry. His voice was so choked up, he couldn't even speak. Can you imagine what it takes to put the Lord in that state? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It is not a surprise that you have said this, because you are Prahlad Maharaj. I will liberate everyone just because of you. But you don't have to suffer. I can't bear seeing you suffer." Vasudev Dutt was the dear friend and Shiksha Guru of Yadunandan Acharya, as was Advaita Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya and Balarama Acharya were best friends. And when Raghunath Das was just a little boy, they took him to a place called Chandpur, where they have invited a special guest, Haridas Thakur, who would just live in little caves, constantly chanting the holy names. Haridas Thakur would chant no less than 300,000 names every day. That's 192 rounds. And yet, somehow or other, as he was chanting, he would go out and he would invoke thousands and thousands and thousands of people to awaken their devotion and take to the path of bhakti. When little Raghunath saw the detachment of Haridas, By material standards, he was born in an untouchable family. And he was continuously being persecuted and criticized and misunderstood. But nothing discouraged him from showing compassion to others. Seeing this quality of renunciation, devotion, and total attachment to the name of God, Raghunath was so inspired. He wanted what Thakur Haridas had. He was not the slightest bit attracted by all the wealth and the prestige and the gratifications that his parents or anybody else had in this world. He wanted what Haridas Thakur had, Krishna Prema. So from his youth, he just showed no interest in material enjoyment. When his parents got really worried, and when he was very young, they married him to a beautiful, wonderful lady who was like an angel. You know, he went along with it, but he just wasn't concerned. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, was in Shantipur, he went there to see Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya, because actually the parents of Raghunath were the main sponsors who were financially supporting the Vaishnava community also. And they were actually very religious people. So Advaitacharya brought Raghunath right in to see Lord Chaitanya. And little Raghunath, young man then, he just wanted to give up everything and serve him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he eventually went to Puri, and Raghunath was just showing no inclination toward any of the duties of family life. He would just leave home to go to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And Raghunath's parents, they hired all sorts of guards to catch him and bring him back. And then he'd leave and they'd catch him and bring him back. How long could you keep doing this? And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, he again came to Shantipur. And Raghunath went, and Lord Chaitanya told him, don't be a Markata Vairagya, a monkey, renunciate. Go home, do your duties, but in your heart of hearts, keep Krishna always in the center. And by Krishna's mercy, in his time, everything will be done. So Raghunath Das Goswami for some time was kind of pretending to be normal. But how long could he do that? And then he heard that Lord Nityananda was in Panihati. And Raghunath Das Goswami knew that one cannot approach Lord Chaitanya directly, but one must get the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda is Balaram, the original Guru. By the blessings and the mercy of Guru, we can attain Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he offered obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu, who was sitting under a banyan tree on the bank of the Ganges, from a distance. And one of the devotees said to Nityananda, there's Raghunath, you see? And Nityananda said, you are offering obeisances from a distance, hiding like a thief? Then Lord Nityananda caught him and put his feet on Raghunath's head and said, you are a thief, you must be punished. The penalty is feed all my devotees and everyone else with chidadahi, chipped rice and yogurt. And Raghunath was very happy. So whatever money he had, he started buying all the chipped rice and all the yogurt. He bought condensed milk and he bought yogurt. And he took large, large quantities of chipped rice and put it in barrels and soaked it in warm milk. And then he took half and put it in condensed milk with ghee and camphor and sugar and some special, special bananas. And then he took the other half and put it in yogurt with some sugar and other kind of bananas. And then he invited everyone to come and gave them each 2 cups with chipped rice in yogurt and condensed milk. And Nityananda Prabhu was so happy. Soon, devotees from all directions were coming, and then townspeople coming, and then everybody was coming, and the bank of the Ganges was so filled with people coming for Raghunath's Utsav, his feast. There was no more space. I think some of you have this experience, what it's like when there's no more space. Well, listen to this. They were so enthusiastic to eat this prasad that there were incredible amounts of people who couldn't fit on the riverbank who were actually standing in the river Ganga. And it flows pretty hard in Panihati. And they each had their 2 clay cups of chipped rice. And Lord Nityananda was so happy. In his prayer, he called Lord Chaitanya to enjoy this festival. And Lord Chaitanya, who was in Puri, invisibly manifested in his spiritual form so Nityananda and only a few devotees could see it. And they were eating chipped rice and they were going to every devotee and taking little morsels of chipped rice and putting it in each other's mouths. And Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were so happy. And after this festival, Nityananda Prabhu took the plate of his and the plate of Lord Chaitanya and offered it as Mahaprasad to Raghunath Das Goswami. And that night in the house of Raghava Pandit, there was a beautiful kirtan where everyone was loudly chanting the holy names. This chanting was so filled with devotion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself manifested to those who could see and was dancing with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And the next day, Lord Nityananda came and with great humility, he had Raghava Pandit bring him to Nityananda Prabhu. And Raghunath Das Goswami offered a prayer. He wanted to be free from materialistic bondage so that he could fully engage in the loving service of Lord Chaitanya in the renounced order. And he understood and wanted to reveal to the world, it is not possible without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, the original Guru. Nityananda Prabhu, he asked all the devotees to bless Raghunath Das. He said, examine this man's character. He has wealth like the king of heaven, Indra. Power, youth, every facility to enjoy. And he doesn't care anything for anything except the loving service of the Lord. Bless him. And all the devotees blessed Raghunath. Raghunath took the dust of the feet with all genuine humility from everyone. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu said, because you have received the blessings of all these devotees, and because Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by your service that he appeared, soon, very soon, you will be liberated from all bondage And you will live with Lord Chaitanya as the personal assistant of his secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and all your desires will be fulfilled. Raghunath Das Goswami, so grateful. Secretly, he gave donations to everyone. And then he went home. And by a very, very mystical way, he somehow escaped. If you want the details, please do read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He escaped in the middle of the night, even though there were literally 12 guards, practically 24 hours a day, keeping him home. His mother told his father, "We should tie him up with ropes." The father said, "He already has such wealth. He has such a beautiful wife. He has so much of everything. If these things don't tie him up, these things are tying everyone up, birth after birth after birth, to this material world. What are ropes going to do? Our son has become a transcendental madman, intoxicated by love and devotion for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What can we do?" And in the middle of the night, he very graciously, with indirect blessings of his Gurudev, he escaped. And he went through the forest. 12 days it took him. Through back jungle paths, because he knew if he was any main roads, he would be caught. In those days, he only got a little bit of milk or food 3 days. And when he arrived in Puri, he was very disheveled, but he was so happy. He was brought before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "Only by Krishna's grace can one be liberated from all material bondage like you have done." And Raghunath said, "I don't know what is Krishna's grace. I know it is your grace that has saved me." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Raghunath Das Goswami under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. We have been recently been talking. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the compassion of Sri Radha. And Swarup Damodar Goswami in Krishna's Leela is is Lalita Sakhi, the foremost assistant of Sri Radharani. Raghunath Das Goswami was in the most intimate setting of the servant of Sri Radha. And for many years he served in Jagannath Puri. His father was sending money, and Raghunath was twice a month or so, he was having a feast for Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees. After some time, he stopped taking any money. And he was begging in front of the Jagannath temple. And then he was thinking that this is too much sense enjoyment. Because when I'm begging in front of the temple, some people come out and I think he gave me something some days, and another days, maybe is he going to give me something today? So he started going to the free charity booths where everybody just gets the same thing. It's really simple. And after some time, he wasn't even doing that. We explained the other day, he was going to the place where the decomposed rice that the shopkeepers couldn't sell, which was Jagannath's prasad, was given to cows. And the cows, the rice that they didn't even like, they would spit out. And Raghunath would, in the middle of the night, without anybody knowing, collect that and eat the inner portion of it. That's all he ate. But he was ever immersed in the joy of seva, of loving service, of chanting Krishna's names, of hearing about Krishna and remembering Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him. He gave him his own Govardhan Shila and Gunja Mala. which he personally worshipped for 3 years. Raghunath Das Goswami was so struck with separation when Lord Chaitanya disappeared from this world. And soon after, Swarup Damodar Goswami could not live. He also went back to the spiritual world. Raghunath Das Goswami decided, I will go to Vrindavan. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave me his Govardhan Shila. That means he's given me residence at Govardhan Hill. And by giving me the Gunjamala, he's giving me the shelter of Sri Radharani. He decided, I cannot live without my masters. I will jump from the top of Govardhan Hill and end my life in that auspicious place. And he came all the way to Vrindavan. And he went to meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and asked their permission. They would not give their permission. Said, we are three brothers. We should live together as brothers. You remain with us. No one in all of Brajbhumi knows the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like you. You were personally watching. You had personal, intimate access to the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Stay with us and share with us the transcendental leelas of Lord Chaitanya. And knowing that Lord Chaitanya gave Raghunath Das Goswami this Govardhan Shila, Rupan Sanatan Goswami gave him a place of residence on the banks of Radha Kund at Govardhan Hill. According to our Gaudiya history, Bhakti Ratnakar tells how Raghunath Das Goswami on the banks of Radha Kund would be so deeply absorbed in bhajan. As he would chant Krishna's holy names, the form, the qualities, the love, the pastimes, the abode of Krishna was all being revealed to him. He was not in or of this world. And one day Sanatana Goswami came walking, and Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting, absorbed in his smaranam, in his meditation. On the banks of Radha Kund, there were two tigers just a couple feet away from Raghunath Das Goswami drinking the water. And Sanatana Goswami saw Krishna appear with a stick standing between Raghunath Das Goswami and the tigers to protect him. And Raghunath Das Goswami didn't see anything. He was immersed in Harinam. When the tigers went away, Krishna smiled and disappeared. Sanatana Goswami said, Krishna is coming to serve you. When we're chanting the holy names, we're praying to Krishna and Sri Radha. Engage me in your service. And as you're chanting and as you're immersed in serving the Lord in the Leela, the Lord is coming to protect you. Raghunath Das was feeling very sad. Another day, it was summertime. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so absorbed in Krishna's leelas, in Krishna's holy names. The noon sun was blazing. And Raghunath Das Goswami, his skin would have been scorched. Sanatana Goswami happened to be walking by that day. He saw Srimati Radharani standing behind Raghunath Das Goswami with her veil over his head, to shade him from the sun. And as she was doing that, she was standing directly in the sun, perspiring profusely. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so absorbed in his samadhi of prema, he didn't know. Sri Radharani smiled at Sanatana Goswami and disappeared as the sun was going down. Sanatana Goswami told Raghunath Das Goswami, "You have to allow us to build a bhajan kutir for you, so that you can be immersed in the loving service of Radha and Krishna, and they don't have to come here and serve you." This is the standard of pure love. Prema Bhakti. This is the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam. Throughout the world, people approach God as their order supplier. Give me this. Get me that. I want this. I don't want that. And if God doesn't provide what we want, or something very different, sometimes we lose our faith, or we get angry, or we just try harder to get to somehow or other get God to give me what I want. Deeper tapasya. But Srimad Bhagavatam teaches ahoitaki apratihata. The love that satisfies the heart is unconditional, unmotivated by any selfish desire. Rupa Goswami begins the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The true devotion is without desire for any type of material sensual enjoyment, which includes wealth, fame. No desire for supernatural powers. No desire even for liberation. True devotion is motivated simply to serve the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. In any situation. So Raghunath Das Goswami was sad that Radha and Krishna were personally coming in forms to serve him. He didn't want to disturb them. He wants to serve them. So he lived in his little bhajan kutir. And once he was thinking that the Brijabasis come to Radha Kund and Sham Kund. In those days, it is said, each kund was in a little paddy field. It was a pond about 12 feet by 12 feet. And paddy field ponds are very muddy. So to bathe in Radha Kund was Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed it. He was seeing the highest of all holy places. But so that the world could appreciate it, he was thinking, I should make it enlarged with steps and ghats so that people could bathe nicely in Radha Kund and Shama Kund. But as he was thinking like this, Raghunath Das Goswami felt, that means money, and where am I going to get money, and why am I thinking about money? I already gave up so much money. So he just got that thought out of his mind. Hare Krishna. Immersed himself in his bhajan, his sadhana. But the Lord in his heart heard his wish. And actually the wish of a great soul is the wish of Krishna. There was a very wealthy man who had gone on a pilgrimage to Badrikashram. And his idea was he was going to give a large donation
to Sri Badri Vishal, the temple in Badrinath. Sridharji just went to Badrinath. So just the next day, he was going to give this big donation for some construction project in Badrinath. And that night, Badri Vishal, the Murti of Badrinath, appeared to that man and told him, I want you to give all your money to Raghunath Das Goswami. Go to Vrindavan, near Govardhan, is a place called Aristagram. And there's two little paddy fields. And what I want you to help him to renovate them. So he came all the way down from Badrinath to Radhakund. And there he sees Raghunath Das Goswami just sitting in his little thatched hut chanting all alone. And he offered him large fortune. And Raghunath Das Goswami, I'm not concerned with anything. Just take the holy name. But then he was thinking, but in the seva of the Lord, I could utilize everything. So Jiva Goswami from Vrindavan, he came. And Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami both organized the construction. Raghunath Das Goswami was supervising the concept of it. And there was a construction team, a Brijavasi construction team. And they expanded Radhakund and made beautiful steps to go down. And then they were going to make the same shape as Radhakund for Shamkund. But one night, as Raghunath Das Goswami was resting, when we speak about resting, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how he was living. Raghunath Das Goswami would chant at least 100,000 names a day, 64 rounds, sometimes 200,000, sometimes more. Raghunath Das Goswami would offer dandavat pranams minimum 1,000 times every day to Radha Krishna. And he would offer his dandavat pranams minimum 2,000 times to the Vaishnavas. He would hardly eat. After Rupa and Sanatana Goswami left this world, he was just eating a few drops of buttermilk in a little leaf every day. He was totally absorbed in hearing, chanting, and meditating, and writing beautiful books and poems. And it describes maximum he would eat and sleep, everything involving his body, in less than 90 minutes a day, 1.5 hours. And sometimes he was just so absorbed in so much devotional service that it was impossible for him to even sacrifice 90 minutes. So during those few minutes when he was actually resting, he had a vision. In the vision, Maharaj Yudhisthira appeared to him with Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, and Sahadev, the 5 Pandavas. And they told him that we have taken forms of trees on the banks of Shamakund to meditate on Radha and Krishna's eternal lila. Please do not cut us down. The next day they were going to cut down the trees in order to make the kund square. But Raghunath Das Goswami said, do not cut a single tree. These are great sages and Pandavas. So that is the reason Shamakund is the shape it is. And the place where that tamal tree was, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and discovered Radhakund and Shamakund, is still there today. There are many very holy places around Radha Kund. Kundeshwar Mahadev, the predominating protector of Radha Kund, Lord Shiva, who has been there for a long, long time. In all the four directions of Radha Kund, Lord Shiva is there to protect the holy Dham. There is also the Samadhi Mandir of Raghunath Das Goswami, the very place where he would perform his bhajan. It describes about Raghunath Das Goswami the nature of his bhajan. One time, he was so absorbed in hearing and chanting the holy names of the Lord, he was so deeply immersed in meditation on Krishna, that Krishna was revealing. He was in Krishna's pastimes. And he was helping other gopis to prepare paramana, or kheer, for Radha Krishna. Radha Gopinath ate the kheer and then personally distributed it to the sakis and to the manjaris. And the gopis gave Raghunath large quantity of kheer. This is in a meditation, in like a dream. And he ate a lot. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, on the inspiration of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, every day on the banks of Radha Kund for at least 3 hours, he would recite the pastimes and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as he had seen it and as he had heard it from the most intimate associates of the Lord. But one day when it was time for him to come out, he wasn't able to come out. So the devotees asked, what's wrong? And they saw that he really looked sick. So they called to the Srinathji temple, where the beloved, exalted, illustrious son of Sripad Vallabhacharya, Vittalnath, was the acharya of the Pushti Marg and was worshipping Srinathji on top of the mountain, Govardhan. And in those days, these Vaishnavas had such deep, loving friendship. When Vittalnath heard that Raghunath Das Goswami was not well, he brought two of the best Ayurvedic doctors. And they went in to the bhajan kutir of Raghunath Das Goswami and took his pulse and examined him. And they came out and told the devotees that he's sick because he has overeaten. The devotees looked at these doctors. And Vittalnath was looking at these doctors. Everybody knew Raghunath Das Goswami. He would just take 3-4 drops of buttermilk a day. It describes that the regulative principles of Raghunath Das Goswami's were followed so strictly that they were like the lines in stone. You cannot erase lines in stone. No circumstance could deviate Raghunath Das Goswami from his principles. He was a man of such integrity, such morality, such dedication, and most of all, Param Drishtvani Vartate. He just had such an ecstatic higher taste for hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna and performing his seva. Nobody could force him to eat more than a couple drops of buttermilk a day. And these doctors are saying he has acute indigestion from eating too much? Impossible.
But then this news came to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he told everyone, actually, what they're saying is true. As I was chanting the holy name, I had this dream, this vision, where the gopis were feeding me kheer, sweet rice, and they made me eat more and more and more and more, and now I have indigestion. Then everyone believed. Not only did they believe he had indigestion, but they believed, what is the nature of this prema bhakti in the form that it's manifesting in Raghunath Das Goswami? The leelas being revealed within his heart become the highest reality that affect his physical body as well. Just on the banks of Radhakund, there is Dajanava Baitak. After the Gaur Purnima festival, the first one ever celebrated at Khetri Gram, which was conducted by Thakur Narottam and Srinivas Acharya, Janava Devi, the senior most Vaishnavi in our Sampradaya, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu, an eternal consort, she came to Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatan had already departed from this world. Jiva Goswami greeted her in Vrindavan, and she was going and cooking for the various temples, the deities, and cooking for all the devotees. And in her own supremely motherly, humble way, she was blessing everyone with the ultimate joy of their lives. Meanwhile, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya left. Swarup Damodar Goswami left. The only reason he stayed in this world is because Rupa and Sanatan wanted to stay with him as their brothers, and now they left, and now he wasn't even eating his buttermilk anymore. He was engrossed in such deep love and separation, not only from Radha Krishna, but from their devotees. Lord Chaitanya asked Srila Ramananda Rai, what is the greatest suffering? Ramananda Rai replied, to be without the association of your loving devotees is the only suffering I know. There is no other suffering but to be separated from the great souls, the Vaishnavas. Gopal Bhatta Goswami had his bhajan kutir also here for some time at Radhakund. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva Goswami told Janava Devi in Vrindavan what the condition of Raghunath Das Goswami was. So immediately she said, let us go. They went to Bahulavan, that beautiful forest, and then approached Radhakund. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and others informed Raghunath Das Goswami that Janava Devi is coming. As soon as he heard her name and looked up, he was just sitting there weeping in tears of ecstatic love and separation. He looked up and he saw the merciful, effulgent form of Janava Devi. And Raghunath Das Goswami became so thrilled, so enthusiastic, so filled with life, he got up and ran to Janava Devi. And Janava Devi was running toward Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami fell at her feet and wept tears as he worshipped her. And she wept torrents of tears in her love and appreciation for this greatest of Mahatmas. The spiritual love that they shared together. She gave life to Raghunath Das Goswami. She decided to stay 4 days to be in his company. And she was inviting all the people from Aritha Gram and Radhakund area to take the prasad that she was cooking for her own hands and offering to the deities. One day, on the banks of Sri Radhakund, she was sitting under a tamal tree. And suddenly she heard a flute. And she looked, her heart mesmerized by this enchanting sound. She saw before her Gopinath standing in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. And there was Radha and Gopis, and Janavadevi fainted in ecstasy. And the place where that beautiful pastime is still there today, a descendant of that original tamal tree, where Janavadevi for 4 days sat and did her seva, meditated on the Lord, gave the greatest pleasure to the devotees, and induced everyone to take shelter of the holy names. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has his bhajan kutir at Radhakund. We read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, even when he was very old, Miniketana Ramdas, an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, came to visit his village in Bengal. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother disrespected. He did not show respect to this great soul. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very much defended the greatness and the integrity of Lord Nityananda. That night in a dream, Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in the beautiful form of a cowherd boy holding a stick, calling out, Krishna, Krishna. Then he looked at Kaviraj Goswami and pointed in the direction of Vrindavan. And he said, go to Vrindavan and all of your desires will be fulfilled. Even though he was very old, immediately upon waking up, without saying a single word to anyone, he just left home and went to Vrindavan and never left. Every day on the banks of Radhakund, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami would hear Raghunath Das Goswami speak about the teachings, the pastimes, and the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and Kaviraj Goswami took notes and deeply imbibed everything that he had heard and seen. Sometime later, the devotees in Vrindavan requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write this book, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to each and every devotee begging for their blessings. And then he went to each and every deity and begged for their blessings. And when he begged for the blessings of Madan Mohan, Govindaji, the garland came off the deity and was placed on Kaviraj Goswami's neck. And all the devotees understood the will of the Lord. They raised their arms and loudly called out, Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. It was on the banks of Sri Radhakund.
that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was written. Close to there is the Bhajan Kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, one of the very holy Baitaks of Sripad Vallabhacharya, the Baitak of Madhavendra Puri. And the principal deities of Vrindavan, of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, at the time when Aurangzeb was attacking and destroying temples, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Gopinath, and many others, they were secretly brought to Radha Kund, where there were little temples, where they were hiding at Radha Kund for many years before being brought to Jaipur, where they were protected by the great kings, and places like that in Rajasthan. One time, our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, came to Radha Kund to visit his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And the banks of Radha Kund and Shama Kund is also the Radha Kunja Bihari Temple, a temple established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And there is the Pushpa Samadhi of his guru, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, had a house and a bhajan kutir at Radha Kund. And his Pushpa Samadhi and also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's samadhis are both at Radha Kund. And you could see the beds that Srila Saraswati Thakur slept on, and his cane and his shoes are still there today. One time when Srila Prabhupada was visiting him there, they were walking around Shama Kund and Radha Kund. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining how there is fire in the mat. He had given so much of his life to provide facilities for the devotees to live together peacefully to execute pure bhakti. And through these bases, to inspire more and more and more people throughout India and throughout the whole world to taste the treasure of the nectar of pure bhakti. But he said that now that we have such nice facilities, leading devotees are fighting over positions. They are fighting over facilities like fire. Better if we take off the marble from these temples and sell it and use the money to distribute Krishna consciousness through literature. And it was there that he told Srila Prabhupada, if you get money, publish books. Srila Prabhupada was with his little son at the time. He was a grihastha. His son, Mathura Mohan, was holding Prabhupada's hand, and he was walking with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, as far as I remember. And Prabhupada took that order so deeply in his heart. And we should understand, if there's anything that deeply disturbs the spiritual master, it's when devotees are fighting with each other. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it is like fire can destroy everything.
Srila Prabhupada said, there is nothing that Maya has the power to do to check the progress of the spread of bhakti from the outside. But she can check it from the inside by creating envy, unhealthy, egoistic competition. Where instead of appreciating, we become threatened by each other's successes. Fire. Blazing fire. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Prabhupada this. And Srila Prabhupada told us one of his last instructions. You can show your love for me by how you cooperate. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are cooperating, and even more than that, appreciating with love each other, encouraging one another, giving strength when each other are weak. Association of devotees is so powerful. Satsang. To be without the association of devotees, unless we are very highly liberated souls, it is impossible to survive spiritually. And we see among the greatest people, Haridas Thakur, what kind of saint was he? He initiated Maya into the holy names. She surrendered to him. But he was always seeking the association of Advaitacharya. He lived in Puri, always seeking the association of Sanatana and Rupa Goswamis and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. The association is the most relishable. And great souls consider it the very sustenance of their spiritual lives. And when we read about the wonderful relationships among devotees in these holy scriptures, it reveals to us what Vaishnav culture is about. Srila Prabhupada writes, to be a Vaishnav means to be without envy. Srila Prabhupada quotes from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, where it describes devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness, and devotional service that is transcendental. And it describes devotional service in the mode of ignorance is one who performs devotional service, but that person has the qualities of being envious, being proud, thinking I'm better, I know better than others, being harsh or disrespectful, sometimes being violent, critical, or a separatist, which means a separate desire than Krishna. That is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And Prabhupada in the purport quotes from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A Vaishnav is one who accepts that the supreme goal of life is service to Vishnu. But if such a Vaishnav is envious, harsh, criticizing, proud, separatist, said, we offer obeisances from a distance, but we should be very careful not to mix too closely
because they could drag down our devotional service.
So Prabhupada is telling us, and the Acharyas, Kapila Dev, the Lord is telling, it's not just because a person's devotee that they're good association. It's the character and the qualities of a person as a devotee that actually makes them good association. Otherwise, they could be the worst association. Devotional service in the mode of passion is one who serves the Lord desiring wealth, desiring pleasures, desiring profit, adoration, or distinction. It's fruitive. Such devotional service may take many lifetimes to actually cleanse our hearts. Devotional service in the mode of goodness means there's no morality, respect, piety. We're actually serving the Lord without desiring anything for ourselves. And when we render service to the Lord purely for the pleasure of the Lord, as the servant of the servant of the servant, this is transcendental, pure devotional service. And each and every one of us, if we actually want to make spiritual advancement, we are responsible to develop these qualities. Sometimes devotees say, we don't have to think about all this. Just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be done. That's true. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada quotes him, but it may take millions of births. It will get done. We have to develop these qualities. We have to focus on these qualities. All these great scriptures with all these incredible histories and all these wonderful examples is to teach us how we're supposed to live so that we could chant Hare Krishna and attain the highest goal. The Bhagavatam tells us unless you come to the mode of goodness, you cannot transcend. The mode of goodness alone. Birth after birth after birth. But when we chant the holy names, when we make Krishna the ultimate goal of life from the mode of goodness, it's like a launching pad that takes us to the spiritual world. But when we don't have these qualities, when we don't pray and strive as tapasya for these qualities, then our tendency is to become envious, to put ourself in the center of everything. What people say about me, what people do to me, is all that really matters. But that's not that all matters. What really matters is Krishna pleased. What really matters for a tree is not what you do to a leaf. It's what you do for the root, pleasing Krishna. Trinadapi suniche na taror ibasi hishnu na amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This is what pleases Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, this is the highest principle of renunciation. Whether you're a swami or whether you're married to a husband or a wife or whether you're a student, the highest principle of renunciation is to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, forgiving like a tree, to offer all respect to others and not to demand or expect it for oneself. Is Krishna pleased? To be able to appreciate well-wishing criticism to help us instead of defending ourselves. To be able to actually appreciate the goodness in others. Sometimes when devotees would find faults with other devotees, Srila Prabhupada said, it is like looking at the marks on the moon. The moon has marks, but the full moon is so good. It's giving volumes and volumes of light. If there's one austerity that will please our great gurus, Srila Prabhupada, and all the great acharyas and avatars, it's our willingness to perform the austerity of cooperating and appreciating and helping and serving one another in all circumstances. With Krishna in the center. To actually help to elevate each other. And how Srila Prabhupada would do that. Sometimes it was with a smile. Sometimes it was just giving a gulab jamun to a person who didn't know anything except the sweetness of that gulab jamun. Sometimes it was by chanting the holy names, giving beautiful lectures, writing incredible books, or chastising a person like a thunderbolt. But it was all in a spirit of love. Yes, it was on the banks of Radhakund that Srila Prabhupada got this message. And he translated that message so many times for us. He gave us his beautiful books to study, to share with the world. And he gave us the lesson of the books. To be united with one heart, with one voice, with humility and compassion, to uplift each other and uplift the world by sharing the beauty of the spiritual world of Vrindavan through the chanting of the holy names. We still have not finished the parikrama. We'll continue tomorrow. I thank you very, very much. Giriraj Maharaj, would you like to lead kirtan? Maharaj said he will follow. So if I ask you to lead kirtan, will you follow? Would you like to speak a few words to everyone just to conclude tonight, and then we'll have a dancing kirtan, whatever makes you happy ultimately? Huh? If you come up to the microphone, we'll all be able to hear what you're saying.